I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. As we begin today, let me remind you that we are looking through the book of Romans, and we are purposely taking time to look at these verses, and I do not mean to rush through them. We want to look and see what God has for us in His Word in the book of Romans. Now, we pick up today in Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 5. But as we look at this verse, we understand that the Jews accused God of being unfaithful in verse 3. And now in verse 5, the Jews are accusing God of being unrighteous, unjust, and unfair. It says there in Romans 3 and verse 5, "But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance?" And Paul says, "I speak as a man." Well, unrighteousness exalts God. This is what they're asking. Does it exalt God? And the word commend here means to bring to light. It means to magnify. Taking vengeance means inflicts wrath. And Paul says, "I speak as a man." Paul was simply stating the arguments of some of the Jews. He was saying, is this the way it is? In Romans chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world?" And Paul's answer to verse 5 and 6, he says, "God forbid." God does not need to use the unrighteousness of anyone to exalt His righteousness. Well, secondly, how shall God judge the world? The world, mankind, the saved, Hebrews 9:28 and John 3:18, and the unsaved. And consider what the Jews and some today might say. God, the more sinful we are, the more Your love is magnified. How then can You judge us? Our wickedness makes Your love look so good. When we think of this, how absurd it is to think that the more a person sins, the more God is pleased because it makes him look so good. He doesn't need us to make Him look good. In Acts 17:31 it says, "Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." No matter what the people of this world think, God will judge every man, every person, for sin. The sins of those who have trusted Christ as Savior have had their sins judged in Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Chapter 3, verse 7. "For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner?" Well, the same kind of argument is used here. If my lie, my unfaithfulness, magnifies and enhances God's truth, and God is glorified by my lie, then why does God judge me? Well, more accusations are used here to avoid God's judgment. Another admission of guilt is seen here because of God's truth, lying. The lying person. Sin does not prove God's truth, but God's truth proves sin. In Psalm 117 and verse 2, it says, "For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth." Note this, how sin or iniquity can be removed or purged by mercy and truth. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And might I say, this is a reverential fear that it's speaking of here, of the Lord, recognizing God for who He really is. Romans chapter 3 and verse 8, "And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just." Notice here evil and good. It's slanderously reported, Paul says, saying something false, slander. Some affirm that we say, he said in this verse, that is affirming something, to declare positively that something is true. And what Paul was evidently accused of was, let us do evil that good may come. Live like the devil. Anything goes, they were saying about Paul, that Paul was saying that it was all right to live like the devil. But Paul's answer to the false accusations, he says this, whose damnation or judgment is just and right deserved. Paul completely condemns the philosophy that doing evil produces good. If it feels good, do it. That seems to be the philosophy of the world today. Paul says those who teach living like the devil have deserved judgment and damnation. Let us do good that evil. Let us do evil that good may come. And Paul was falsely accused of teaching this. Why? Because Paul taught that salvation was by grace apart from any works. Many people think they're saved by turning over a new leaf, by doing good. In God's sight, that's not good enough. You must be saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to be saved except receive Jesus as your Savior. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His grace He saved us. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We continue on in our study and realize that Paul is laying a groundwork here. Paul has let us understand that all men are sinners. All women are sinners. All mankind is lost. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is no escaping this. He's laying the groundwork that all people are under sin. And as we go into verse 9, it says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. He's saying there is no difference here. There is no difference between anyone. All people are the same. There is no difference. All are under sin. It says then, what then? Therefore, and points back to verse 2, and does the great advantage of the Jew in verse 2 make him better than the Gentiles? The answer is no. He says, what then? Are we better than they? We, the first we of the verse, Paul includes himself with the Jews and humbly identifies himself with the all who are under sin. Every man is condemned. Note how many are sinners. The Bible says all. Verse 9 of chapter 3, verse 12, verse 19, and verse 23 tells us this. How many are righteous according to the Scriptures? The Bible thunders out, there is none righteous. No, not one. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. The Jews and the Gentiles are both in the same boat, and the boat is sinking. And Paul continues here in this verse, in verse 9. We have before proved, he says. In Romans chapter 1 and 2, Paul has already proved and demonstrated that both Gentiles and Jews are condemned before a holy God. Jews and Gentiles. This includes everyone. Under sin, under the guilt, power, condemnation, and doom of sin. Well, notice the indictment here. God Himself is charging a person with an offense. And we see this in verses 10 through 18. In verse 10 of Romans 3, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. As it is written, it says here. This is all from God's point of view. Now, I've been saying that Paul is laying out his case here, telling people that they are sinners. That Paul is the one who is telling that man is condemned, that there's only one way to heaven, and so forth. But you know something? This is God's Word. Paul is writing under the inspiration of God. So it's really God who's laying out the case. It's really God who's warning people. It's really God who's saying you need to turn. You need to have a mindset. You need to change your mindset. And you need to receive my Son, Jesus, as your Savior. Paul says, as it is written here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 10, this is all from God's point of view. Galatians 3:22 says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. As we look on, we see that, I want you to note in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it's compared with Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, and Psalm 53, 1 through 3. In Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. In verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You can read later on Psalm 53:1, and it says primarily the same thing, that there is none that doeth good. Paul is simply quoting the Old Testament here. He's quoting the Scripture that God has given. Notice verse 13, compared with Psalm 5:9 and Psalm 140 verse 3. Verse 13 of Romans 3 says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps, the snake, is under their lips. Psalm 5:9 says, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Paul is pointing out to the Jewish people, to the religious people, to the heathen in the book of Romans, that we're all the same. The religious person is lost if they have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. What a sad commentary it is on mankind, that there is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. This describes man's spiritual blindness. And when it comes to the things of God and the truth of God, there is no understanding. Do you understand today that Jesus loves you, that He wants to save you? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Trust Him today as your Savior. And if you are saved, live for Him. Trust Him to lead your life just as you've trusted Him to save your life, to give you eternal life. It's been good being with you again today. Next time we'll pick up in Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. We'll continue our study in the book of Romans. In the meantime, look at our website, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. Or write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731, and I'll be glad to send you free of charge a transcript of this program. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer. Living for the Lord.